The Holy Spirit. Now, that's not something that we often talk about in Baptist churches. But the Holy Spirit is powerful and very important. And we need to pay attention. You see, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. We receive it as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is a gift to us. Jesus promised us that He would not abandon us, but that we would receive the Holy Spirit. And so we have this counselor, this helper, the presence of Christ in our lives. We have the fruits of the Spirit, and we have the gifts of the Spirit. All are important. I'm reminded of a song that used to be hymn number one in the Broadman hymnal, the old green hymnal. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God in what? Three persons, blessed Trinity. That's right. Holy, holy, holy. The Great Commission. Jesus tells us to go out and baptize all nations in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pentecost. Tongues of fire. Persons were able to hear and understand the gospel in their own language. Now, some thought that they were just drunk early in the day. Remember that story in Acts? These guys, they just tripping. Today, we'd say they're probably eating mushrooms or something like that. But they were kind of hallucinating. Some would say it's not rational to believe in the Holy Spirit. It's just over-emotionalism. Self-delusion. It's a myth. Something that we don't need in a post-Christian age. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit empowers us. It has been given to us as a gift. We have a counselor. We have a helper. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers us to proclaim the gospel and to spread the gospel. It is that power within us that enables us to share that good news. A little bit of a history lesson. Two major revivals in the 20th century. Both of them dealing with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. The first one, 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, led by William J. Seymour, African-American pastor. There was an inpouring of the Spirit. They were having revival services in this small building three times a day, 7 days a week. That revival went on for 3 years. It was the birth of the modern Pentecostal movement, the moving of the Spirit. From that, we've seen the churches of God, the church assemblies of God, the Church of God in Christ, all of these Pentecostal movements. 38 missionaries were sent out from this revival explosion. And they reached 50 million nations. And today it's estimated that there are 580 million Pentecostal charismatic believers throughout the world. In the 1980s, we studied and we learned about the charismatic movement in Latin America. Now, do you know where it's very strong? Africa. The nations of Africa are experiencing major revival of the Holy Spirit. Think back in the 1960s and 70s. Now, I remember that. I had hair back then. Bobby, you had hair too. So, Harold, you probably had hair too as well back then. Dennis, yours was fuller because I've seen pictures. I know. But the 1960s and 1970s, the charismatic movement, and then the Jesus movement, the Jesus revolution. It impacted the Catholic churches, the Protestant churches, and college campuses. This movement also started in California, just like the Azusa Street. Maybe we ought to pay attention to California. You know, there was a Harvest Fellowship crusade last night. I was live streaming part of it. Greg Laurie, major gathering. Where were they? Southern California. So here again, the moving of the Spirit, the charismatic movement coming from the Greek word charismata, which means the gift of grace. See, the Spirit is a gift. It's a gift of grace. Remember, we are saved by what? Grace. Not works. Grace. Gifts of grace. May we, and with the charismatic movement, it changed worship forever. Think about this. With the charismatic movement, you had more discussion, and the Jesus movement, more discussion about the gifts of the Spirit. You had new worship styles, praise choruses. Y'all like praise choruses? Yeah. Praise choruses, worship bands, contemporary Christian music. You can trace it all back to what? Charismatic movement and Jesus movement. There's some strong roots there. Very strong. You see, we had coffee house movements, Vineyard Christian Fellowship, Harvest Ministries, which I just referenced, and the Asbury College Revival of 1970. But what did you have just a few months ago? Another revival. Where? Asbury College. You see, the Spirit is moving throughout our land. The question is, will it continue to move? Will it continue to grab hold? Will it impact our lives in a way that we can impact others' lives as well? You see, I really believe we're on the verge of another revival in America, one that will impact everybody, all walks of life, a major moving of God's presence through His Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit has convicted the world, and the Holy Spirit has also convicted the ruler of the world. Let me share with you some words of Jesus from John's Gospel. So if you would, turn to John chapter 15. Now, if you want a good section of Scripture on the Holy Spirit, read John 14 through 16 and really meditate on it. Those chapters deal extensively with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, "When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth." You know, we worry a whole lot about what's true. We have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us understand God's Word. The Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. The Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus. And then he says to his disciples, "You also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning." You see, Jesus leaves, but he also brings and gives the gift of what? The Spirit. And as the Spirit, as Jesus proclaimed the good news, through the Spirit we also can what? Proclaim the good news. The Spirit testified about Jesus. The Spirit enables us to testify about Jesus. And then going down a little further, verse 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. Who is the Counselor? The Holy Spirit. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, notice this, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. There you have it. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they don't believe in me. Jesus is talking about people that could not accept him. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father. In other words, Jesus is where now? At the right hand of God, the Father. And you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Hallelujah! Do we live in a lot of chaos and a lot of mess? Yes, we do. But the ruler of this world has been judged. And we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not abandon us. Jesus did not leave us alone. He gave us the power we need to confront whatever this world throws at us. Because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So you see, we can go forward. Jesus completed his mission on earth. He conquered sin. He conquered death. We have forgiveness of sin. We're not under the law because of Jesus. We have living water. We have eternal life. As we were talking about in the Sunday school lesson with Jeremiah, we don't have to drink out of cracked cisterns and stagnant water. We can drink the living water, but we like that stagnant water for some reason. He returned to the Father. But he did not abandon us, because he left us his Spirit. Satan has been convicted. That and our sins have been forgiven. And we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If we will what? Just do it. But we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what are we waiting for? Therefore, let us embrace the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 lists those fruits. We handed it out to all the men in the church on Father's Day, the tree with the fruits of the Spirit. May our lives be characterized by love, joy, peace, patience. That one I got to work on. Kindness, ask Carol, she'll testify. Kindness, that one too. Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and then what I always call the clincher, self-control. But how powerful are those fruits? But let's not also forget the gifts of the Spirit. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Prophecy. there is still prophecy. Healing. Healing does take place. Not always, but it does take place. Miracles. Rational world says there are no miracles. But I suspect every one of us can give a testimony of a miracle that we have experienced in our life. Something that we could not do on our own. Miracles. Tongues. Tongues are a gift of the Spirit. But remember, tongues also need to be what? Interpreted. They need to be interpreted. But they are a prayer language as well. Wisdom and discernment. You see, the church has argued that all of those gifts, yeah, they were there in the first century and Paul talked about them and they experienced them. But through the ages, the church has tended to shy away from all of that. But prophecy still exists. The gifts of the Spirit are real. But we have to be open to receiving them. You see, we as a country have great freedoms and great privileges. But we have them not because we're good people. Because we're not good. We have them because we have placed our trust and our faith in God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To the extent that we can remain godly, we can be a light into the world. But that's a choice that each one of us as individuals and collectively have to make. We live in the land of the free, free speech, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. But oh, how that depends on the atonement of sins that Jesus made possible through his death on the cross, through the victory over death. And the gift of eternal life and living water that he gave. For the promise that we would not be abandoned, that we have the Holy Spirit. And the promise that he will return again. And so that is why, and I think it's so appropriate, that on 4th of July weekend, and we talk about freedoms, that we also celebrate the Lord's Supper. For the Lord has truly freed us. From the power of the law, from death, from sin. So at this time, I will ask our deacons to come forward as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper.